Evening. You know it's hot outside? Understatement of the year, I think. We'll be in Ruth chapter 2 this evening. Chapter 1, we were introduced to a few key characters in the story. Naomi, which is Ruth's mother-in-law, Ruth herself, Elimelech, her father-in-law, and oddly enough, briefly mentions that she was married. Elimelech took his family to the land of Moab during a famine in Israel. While there, things didn't go so well. Elimelech passed away, his three sons passed away, and left Naomi and her two of her daughter-in-laws. One decided that she was going to stay in Moab, or return to Moab, because they made this split about halfway through the trip. Ruth, on the other hand, told Naomi, "No, I'm staying with you. I married into this family. I am part of your family. I am staying with you. I'm going to go where you go, live where you live, die where you die." Naomi kind of frustratingly said, "Fine." And they continued on into Bethlehem. They returned because they heard the famine had passed. When they arrive, nobody even recognizes Naomi anymore. She's like a different person now. She's allowed that grief and these hard times that she's been through to permeate into her very character. They couldn't even recognize her. So much so that we look. She says, "Do not call me Naomi, but call me Mara," which means lost my spot. Bitterly. Her name, she went from joyful to bitter in the meanings of her names. So she has gone so far as, "I don't even want to be called joyful. Call me bitter, because that's what I am. That's how God has dealt with me." So she's kind of taken everything that's gone on in her lives and says, "It's God's fault." But Ruth, who is not even an Israelite, she is a Moabite, has not only come into this family, but she has come into God's family. She has accepted the God of Israel. And you can see this in her character, and we'll see it even further as we go on. In chapter 2, starting in verse 1 here. "Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz." Now, looking into this, I kind of want to focus first on the description they give of him, a man of great wealth. This tells us a couple of things. First off, Israel just came out of a famine. But Boaz was a man of great wealth. The country was struggling for years, for 10 years as we look. But he has done well for himself. We're going to see God's provisioning as we go on, and how Boaz being faithful, he was given provision. But if we take it a step further, we get a little, become a bit of a grammar nerd here. We look into the original language, we see this word is very nuanced. It's very broad, and it makes more sense if it's your native tongue. But the word that the translators of the New American Standard gave was a man of great wealth. They translate the same thing again in Proverbs 31 as a woman of good character. Or we also see that it also has been translated in several different places of being of good character, of being of great wealth, of being noble, being of good character. All these different words for just good, faithful, just. It generally means he is a great guy any way you look at it. And so, if you look in different translations, it comes up differently. They're all right. They're all correct. And so let's go ahead and continue on here for a moment. And Ruth, a Moabitess, said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean. And among the ears of grain after one among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." We hit on this a little bit last time, but gleaning is essentially God's idea of welfare system. It is the way to take care of travelers and those that are hard on their luck, the poor, in a way that isn't just handouts. The idea here was, and we can see where this was put into place, where God gave this instruction, Leviticus 19. And in it tells us that farmers were to do not be very thorough when they harvest. Quite literally, cut corners. It specifically says, when you go to harvest your field, don't go all the way to the edge. If you drop something, leave it. If you find crop on the ground, leave it. The idea would be, travelers, those that are poor, they could do what's called gleaning. They could come in and pick the scraps of the field. This way, those that are having hard times would be able to get help, but you're not just handing out help. They could earn it. It was a way to get help dignified, in a dignified way. And so, the idea here was, though, is this was an ordained thing from God to be put in place. But we kind of took a brief look at what time period we're in here. It's the time of the judges. Not the greatest time for Israel. So even though this was an ordained thing that God said, you should let this happen, probably wasn't very widespread at the moment. Widespread enough that in Moab it was a common practice, but probably not everybody respected the idea. And that is why Ruth is saying, I'm going to go glean and hopefully I find favor with somebody. I'm going to go out and glean some fields and hopefully I don't get ran off. Hopefully somebody lets me do it. So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to a portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "May the Lord be with you." And they said, "May the Lord bless you." Is there such thing as a coincidence? Well, what we just read here was she departed and went to the glean and happened to come across the field of Boaz. So far, we've seen that Ruth is a faithful woman. She trusts in God. And it just happens. They come back to Bethlehem and end up in a family member's field. Just happened to. And then, behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. He just happened to leave town, go out in the countryside, and end up in his field at the same time. Coincidence, right? But I think we finally get a good look at Boaz's character, and it's starting to line up with what we've seen of Ruth thus far. How many people have worked in factories and work sites, you know, hard labor areas? Has your foreman ever walked in onto the floor, out to the site, and said, "May the Lord be with you"? Not exactly the language we're expecting here. But we see it's a part of Boaz's character. The first thing we find out about him is his relationship with God. That he comes to his workers, he comes to the people he's employed, and he prays over them, he blesses them, praying that the Lord be with them, and they respond in kind. This is the kind of nature that he's built up within his fields and within his work sites. Then Boaz said to his servant, Who was in charge of the reapers? Whose young woman is this? He comes out. He knows everybody. He sees this woman out here. She's like, who's that? Who is this? Who's out here? The servant in charge of the reapers replied, She is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. She has been sitting in the house for a little while. One quick question. Who is this? What Boaz asked. But Ruth has already developed a reputation among those that are working out there. He felt he really needed to give the story here. Simple question, who is that? And the servant says, she is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi. So, the small town, everybody knows what's going on. This is that foreign girl that came with Naomi when she came back to town. But then we see something a little bit different here. What really catches Boaz's ear here. Ruth said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. This was an ordained thing from God. But she still comes and she's asking to be out in those fields. She's seeking permission. She's seeking approval before she just helps herself. She's being polite. And then we also see she's hardworking. She's been there from morning. She's only been in the house for a little while. She's worked all day out in this field. In the Middle Eastern, the harvest time for this would have been about now in the Middle East. So she didn't come out quickly and find a handout. She came out to work. She wanted to earn her way. Showing good character, she's showing, making a good name for herself among these reapers. But Boaz has heard her story. We'll see that here. Then Boaz said to Ruth, listen carefully, my daughter. Do not glean in another field furthermore. Do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap. Go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your sight? You should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner. So Boaz basically taken this girl under his wing, said, hey, don't bother going to any other fields. Don't go anywhere seeking any more help anywhere else. Follow my servants. You work in my field. They draw water. You get to drink from it, which is one step further than what was expected. They were expected to leave something in the field that they can pick. He goes even further. You're welcome here. Drink water. Relax. You don't have to go anywhere else looking for help. Stay here. The reason is that Boaz replied to her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother in the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. Like I said, her reputation is followed. Is anybody seeing any kind of similarity here? Something reminding you about her story thus far? She sounds like a new believer. She left the world she knew, stepped away, came into a new family, a place full of strangers. Boaz has accepted her. Boaz is essentially playing the role of Christ in the story. Ruth playing the new believer. We can see the similarity here. We're going to see more of it as we go on. Boaz is a type of Christ in this. We see right now Ruth is playing that role of a new believer. She tried her hand in the world, came into the family of God, the family of in Israel, and has left everything. She left the world that she knew behind to join this new family. And now she's being taken under wing. She's being helped along. She's being shown what the God of Israel is like. I think if you think back to when you were a new believer, you probably can relate now when taking that look at it. Came into a church building, came to know Christ, you walked into a church building, and you might have known one or two people. Was that church acting as the family of God? Did they come in, they accept you, they brought you in, said, hey, go ahead and have a seat right here with us. They come along, were they welcoming? Hopefully so. Verse 12 here. May the Lord reward your work and your wage be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. Didn't say that he was going to reward her. Because you did all these great things, I'm going to help you out. Boaz is giving the credit to God here. May the Lord reward your work. May he fill those wages. Boaz is not accepting the credit for this good deed. He's saying, this is because God says I should do it. God is giving this to you. You came to the God of Israel and you sought refuge, and that is what she is now finding here. Then she said, I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. I had so much fun looking at this verse the other day. Because it just gets me that we kind of lose some of the meaning with the translation here. Because the word maidservant makes it sound like, you know, just one of his workers. No, the real translation here, just like what we saw earlier, is nuanced. The literal meaning is a bond slave. But there's a little twist to it. Not just a bond slave. an adopted family member, a bond slave that has been brought into the family, an outsider that is loved as a member of the family. So we take another look at this here. I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your adopted family member, though I'm not one of your adopted family members. Another great word here is that word comforted. It sounds like, here, have a seat and relax. No. This is a way to describe the meaning in this word is having fought a battle, fought for your life, like nails into the ground, dragging yourself away from danger, and someone comes along and helps you up and you can take a breath. To be struggling. And finally, you're safe. To be working so hard and then finally can take a moment to breathe. You have comforted me. I was in so much struggle. You came along and you picked me up and let me breathe. You let me breathe, and indeed you have spoken kindly to this adopted child. Though I'm not one of your adopted children. Yeah. So she's kind of confused. It's like, who am I? I came out and tried to pick a few pieces out of your field. And now you've brought me in. Told all the other guys, hands off, don't bother her. If you're thirsty, here, come drink with the rest of my servants. And then it goes even further. The kindness doesn't just stop at, I'm providing for you. Here's some comfort for you. Then at mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers and he served her roasted grain and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. Now he's gone a step further. Hey, it's dinner time. You hungry? Come, have a seat at my table. And if you're not familiar with Jewish customs, the Lord of the house wasn't supposed to serve the servants. But specifically it says, he served her. The Lord humbled himself to her. So we're seeing, you know, from what we have already been told, a well-off, rich man, lord over many servants, over a field, has people working for him, and he's brought someone that's decided to come seek refuge of the God of Israel. And he's brought her in, provided for her, comforted her. Now he is feeding her and serving her. And so we're seeing that Boaz is playing that type of Christ even further. He's providing, he's comforting, he's redeeming. He's stepping in to help her. She sought help. She asked and it was given. Far more than what she asked. She simply asked, can I work off for a little bit of food? Another idea would be a guy standing outside on a street corner with a sign, and then you take him for a steak dinner and then say, here, anytime you need, just come and help come and let me know. Can I give you a ride somewhere else too? He's just come in with unexpected grace and provision. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded her, his servants, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. So she gets up after this meal, and she gets back to work. She's been fed. She's had more than her share to collect, to take home, and she wants to get back to work. Boaz tells her servants, let her go ahead and go into the rest of the crop, even the part that's not reaped yet. Let her collect. Don't say a word to her. Then he takes even a step further. Also, you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean. Do not rebuke her. She gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. So Boaz has basically told his servants, cut corners. Give her something to pick up. Even some of the stuff you've already reaped, you might drop some. He's essentially told him to let her have as much as she could possibly collect. Give her all that she could possibly stand. Show so much grace to her and don't say a word. Pour out provision to her. And then we see here, she works, doesn't say a word, just keeps working. Comes evening time. Sun's coming down, and now she's going to essentially process what she's collected, the grain she's collected. And we see she gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Clear enough, right? Ephah, everybody knows what that is, right? It's essentially an entire, it's 2 weeks worth of wages. 2 weeks of wages in a day. 35 pounds of grain. So in a single day, he just basically unloaded most of our paychecks to her. And so we're seeing a simple, all she asked was help. And Boaz steps in. This type of Christ we see not only provides, but redeems her. Essentially, in one simple act, brought her from nothing into something. He's brought her out of that poverty, out of that feeling of loss. He's filled her up, shown so much grace to her. And so, she took up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left over after she was satisfied. So she came home with her crop and her leftovers from dinner to her mother-in-law. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed of the Lord. Sorry, I skipped a line. Her mother-in-law then said to her, where did you glean today? Where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed. Comes home basically with a truckload of grain and leftover dinner, and Naomi's like, where did you go? Where did you possibly go find work to bring home this? And so she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed, Lord, who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead. Again, Naomi said to her, the man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives. Then Ruth the Moabitess said, furthermore, he said, you should stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids so that others do not fall upon you in another field. So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law. So, Boaz basically exclusively said, stick with me, I'll take care of you. Work with my maidservants, brought her in as one of the family. Naomi thinks, hey, this is great. If you're going to be bringing home things like this, please go. By the way, he's one of our relatives. I can find that line. The man is our relative. He is the one of our closest relatives. When she is saying this, there's actually a little bit of deeper meaning to this as well. It was custom that if a man dies with no living male heir, there would be another relative that could step in, marry the wife, have children, and then that male child would go on with the name of the dead father. And that's what she means by he's our relative. Then the second part there, he's one of our closest relatives. Another translation for this is a redeeming kinsman. And what this a redeeming kinsman would be is a family member by law who is allowed to come in and redeem another family member's property and family and wealth and basically bring it back into the family so that the family can go on. And so you have both essentially the perfect person to come in and keep the family going. And so now we have another twist to the story. Not only has he been a very generous, wealthy man, but he's also a man who can come in and redeem the family as if this loss has never happened. So he could essentially save the family. Why is that point even important, though, for the story? Why is that key? We all know who King David is, correct? Well, Ruth is mom. Elimelech is granddad to King David. So what we're seeing here is a faithfulness that is essentially going to bring about, if everything goes the way things should, with this redemption and this faithfulness, to bring about the line of the Messiah. And so what we're going to see here is that little tidbit, that coincidence we were looking at earlier, wasn't coincidence. It's God ordained that everything so far has happened. What seems like a tragic story of escaping famine and nearly your entire family dying off, all is going to be leading back to a redemption story that leads to the greatest bloodline the world has ever seen. To God redeeming a single person, to God redeeming the world. But we're going to stop there for tonight. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for another opportunity to come to learn from you, to worship you, and to just seek your wisdom in your word. Lord, I just want to lift up those that are here tonight, that you'd be with them, that you'd bless them, that you'd keep them safe, that you'd touch each one of their lives. Lord, we also want to lift up those that aren't here tonight, specifically Judy. She's asked for prayer that she's just not feeling well this evening, and just ask that you'd be able to work with in her life, to be able to bring her good health, that she'd be able to return to service with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.